Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Does it ever feel like you're a marketing professional just speaking into the void? Well, with LinkedIn ads, you can know you're reaching the right decision makers. You can even target buyers by job title, industry, company, seniority, skills. Wait, did I say job title yet? Get started today and see how you can avoid the void and reach the right buyers with LinkedIn ads. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next campaign. Get started at linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, welcome back to Cozy Room Podcast. My name is Shan. I am the mom of the girls. I have a special guest here today. I'm Everything is with me. And we're going to discuss a great topic that I feel like is important. And I think other parents would feel like it's important, or other adults and other teens can learn a lot from this. You can find me at shanbpodden.com. You can find me at The Cozy Room Podcast if you hashtag it, and I'm gonna just get into it. I personally believe that the teens today have more energy. They are more confident and more eager to do it all a bit earlier. And with that, I think few of us still have grandparents. And if you do, I think talking to them will give you way more wisdom than you going through challenges in life that you don't have to go through. So today I have a guest, and we wanted to discuss how the young people today can benefit from connecting with the older generation. I'm going to allow him to introduce himself, and then we'll just hop into it. Welcome. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. You know, I'm everything. My name is Dad because I feel like, in a sense, like we all encompass everything within ourselves that we can really manifest and create anything and embody like anything. Like we flow like water, we flow like we create and embody ourselves in anything that we desire or fulfill or have a desire to go after, in a sense.
I understand that. And that was going to be one of my questions, is why do you go by I'm Everything? But that makes sense. I think if more people walked around with that confidence in themselves, then they wouldn't discredit with the things that they could do. So that's a good mindset to have. So my question is, what made you come up with this topic, or what interested you in this topic?
I feel like, especially just being young and having like the type of wisdom that I do have, that I gained it from like just listening and observing and just being around like my parents or my sister or uncles, or just being very observing and like always questioning, as well as just asking questions. And those questions led me to just really ponder on different things and different ideologies to better understand myself, understand the world, and bringing that full circle by like really having a better grasp of like the older way, as well as like my mindset, and producing like how to like really make it concrete and really push forward a more solid ideology and idea, structure, concept, well, perspective rather than just like one-sided. Because once you have like a one-sided perspective, then it's like you just going by ego rather than like a true sense of.
Right. You kind of limit your understanding.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So when I thought about this topic, I was like, yeah, I think if the young people today understood what a gem it is to have grandparents and be able to talk to them and understand what they went through and how things might be similar still and how things might be different. I think it would be less frustration for the elderly and less frustration for the young. But I feel like society, when it comes to this corporate world and this system of how they want to do things, they make it super easy to be disconnected. And they give us like illusions of connection, whether it's, oh, I saw my grandma on FaceTime, or I called them last month, or I saw them at Christmas. And I feel like there's way more days between these paganistic holidays that they give us. There's way more opportunities to, you know, if you live in the same city as your grandparents, I don't understand why you're seeing them once a month. I don't understand why you're not, you know, going to the house and checking in on them. And so I feel like when it comes to the youth and connecting with the elderly, I feel like there's five main things that the youth need that will benefit older people too. Because I'm the type of person, when I go out in public and I'm shopping, I hate seeing elderly people who should be retired at home on a register or at a door, or just sitting, hoping someone would see them, connect with them, say something to them. So I feel like the five main things that the youth need, I think they need to know how to build bonds with people. And who better to build a bond with than your grandparents? And I also think that will help with how they communicate with strangers in public. A lot of the youth, they struggle with keeping eye contact with people or talking to someone face to face, introducing themselves, carrying that confidence. I think it's easy to have confidence on social media. It's easy to tweet with confidence. It's easy to text your friends with confidence. But if you can't introduce yourself, step into a room, and exude that confidence, people are going to have this feeling like they can treat you a certain way, talk to you a certain way, dismiss you a certain way. So I think building bonds with people is a great way to practice that with your grandparents or the elderly. Knowing how to discover your purpose through someone who has lived 30 years, 40 years, 50 years already, I think will be a great connection that they can have with the elderly and the youth. And just like you said earlier, welcoming different views. You can think a certain way, or you can have a mindset that's personal, but that shouldn't stop you from hearing someone else's mindset or looking at something a different way. The fourth thing I would say, if you have a great relationship with your grandparents — my grandparents were both Jamaican on both sides, but I only knew my mom's parents, and they were very big on respect and empathy for people. Mm-hmm. And what we see day in and day out is the youth not showing that they have empathy for people, or not showing that they have respect for people. But I think the youth today is a reflection of what we didn't do. I think it's easy to point fingers at what they're not doing or what's wrong with the youth today. But I don't think anybody wants to step up and be like, yeah, instead of, you know, raising my kids or looking after my brother and sister, I took on a second shift. Or I felt like picking up a second job was going to benefit my family more than me being at home. And I think what we're dealing with a lot when it comes to the young people is a whole young generation that raised themselves. And if they didn't raise themselves, the people that were teaching them were the television, the computer, people through a screen who were putting off this perception of what they needed to be or what they needed to do. And so when you're in a household and you're supposed to have parents, but your parents aren't really there and they work double shifts, or you're living with a single parent that you barely see, you start to look at that parent as your equal because you come in the house like I come in the house. You have a room like I have a room. You eat like I eat. You got somewhere to go just like I have somewhere to go. So I think the respect gets lost there. And lastly, I would say the youth has to figure out a way on how to connect understanding with other people that might be different.
Right. That's crucial because I feel like even though you might not totally agree with like that person's perspective outlook on life, you can still learn from them in a sense, even though it might not be everything that they have to say that you agree with, but it's like it's something within that has truth. But some might have some, like most of what they're saying, like 80% might be falsehood to you, but it's some truth that you can really hold on to, take a connection from, and really push it forward for your own well-being rather than just like pushing aside everything someone might have to say. And going back to the point where like how your grandparents really exude that confidence within you, it really is that, because like I guess like, well, I know like that's something like I hold dear to my heart, because just like my grandma was that woman to really show that love, that empathy, and that's how I like walk through life with that and have that perspective. Because like I think without her, I wouldn't have that same mindset. I'd probably be, you know, like the quote unquote stereotype, always mad, always sad, or depressed, and not having sympathy or having an understanding. Or it's this word. It's called Sonder. It's like everybody goes through the same emotions, the same feeling. Everybody walks the same walk, but they have a different direction going about it. And it's understanding, like, everybody has those same emotions. Like, they healing just like you, just like me, just like anyone else. It's just having an understanding to, like, not be so judgmental, but rather be understanding and looking to really find out the why within like those feelings or those thoughts or those actions that people have.
Yeah, I think a lot of people lack empathy now because life is so fast and demanding, and the way life is set up, it doesn't give you a chance to have a break where you don't ask for empathy, right? And so a lot of how people clash is because I got this and this to do, and you in my way, not even thinking, what is this person going through, why they are standing here? Or what is this person going through, why they're making a scene? And a lot of why the youth have the outbursts that they have or the reactions that they have is because they don't have the words for it.
Yeah.
They don't know how to explain their emotions. Like, are you frustrated? Are you upset because you can't do something? Or do you wish you could do more? Or you don't understand something, so you feel lesser than? Like, what is it? And if we don't talk to young people who don't know more, it's going to be hard for them to explain to us what their problem is. And I think that's what it is they see that we don't have the patience and we don't have the empathy for them. So they're just like, well, I'm not going to have the empathy for you. I'm not going to have the respect for you. I'm not going to care. And I'm going to just be outside lawless. And I think that's what it is. I don't think this generation is completely different from when I was a teenager and frustrated and confused. I feel like people just have less time because it's always this constant chase. And even, you know, when you brought up healing, everybody's healing in a different way. A lot of people think healing is like this destination that they need to get to. I feel like healing is ongoing. Like, we're always going to have an experience that we don't like. We're always going to have a challenge that we don't like. But I feel like it's okay. What do you do with that experience you experienced? and how do you get better from this? And what's something continuous that you're working on to be better from this? And if we hide the fact that we have a problem or we've had traumatic things happen to us and we just go to work and act like it's nothing, then how are they seeing what they need to do?
Right. Because you really have to talk it out and get it out mm-hmm. before it's even being conceptualized. Because once you are able to really once you are able to put it out into the world, right. then you are able to really think on it and ponder on it rather than just letting it sit inside you and fester, kind of like a raisin in the sun, and understanding that, like, you have to get it out. You have to talk it out. You have to really conceptualize your emotions, your feelings, the action you take, even the thoughts you have, because even writing it down or just taking time to find solitude in your solitude by yourself and just, you know, thinking rather than just keeping it inside. And I think the biggest thing, bringing it back to like bringing it back to full picture, mm-hmm. I feel like that's what the elders helps us do. It really helps us to build the emotional intelligence, because that's what's kind of lacking mm-hmm. in a sense. Like, a lot of us is lacking, but it's a lot of like emotionally intelligent people, mm-hmm. well, younger people, but it's also a lot of like emotional illiterate people as well.
Oh, yeah.
They grew up, like you said, they grew up not having someone to help them or tell them, like, oh, it's okay to, you know, feel this way. It's okay to speak about it. It's okay to like talk it out. But when you just basically, like you said, you raising yourself in a sense, like not being raised, you just learning through life experience, learning through your outside world, mm-hmm. rather than being nurtured or cared or how to really conceptualize your emotions.
And
that's the biggest problem, because you don't really know how to conceptualize or know what emotional intelligence is. Because if you knew, then you would do better. And that better has wisdom within it. It's like, it takes time, but mm-hmm. it would take less time if it was help or understanding too.
Yeah. A lot of what's so crazy is the mirror that I see of this generation coming up, that's like 11, 12 to, let's say, 25, is they don't have the words to describe what they're dealing with, and they think they're the first. Mm-hmm. When you listen to their music, it's very like low level, dragged out, mostly sounds, which reminds me of like watching old films and documentaries of how different cultures will use sounds to describe like things that they're going through, people that they lost. And so I think music is a great place for them to express themselves. But to me, it's kind of like, how can you be someone who likes music and not see what the young people are going through the sounds and what it makes you feel? I don't have to understand the music to know, like, oh, they going through some shit and they don't have the words, or they're struggling, or they need like some type of guide. And I think people who are in my age range, where it's like your 30s, you're preparing to go into your 40s, you have this mindset like, yeah, somebody needs to do this with them. And then I talk to people who are like in their late 50s and their 60s, and they're like, oh, that's not my problem. those aren't my kids. And it's kind of like, no matter if those are not your kids or you feel like that's not your problem, they will become your problem because eventually the people who are your age have to retire. The people who are your age have to get out of those doctor's offices. They got to get out of those, you know, those political seats. And those young people are going to have to be the ones to have a deciding factor on what to do with you. So I feel like this whole mindset of that's not my problem, somebody else needs to do it, it goes hand in hand with this mindset that, oh my God, look at this problem. Who are we going to wait as a leader to say something? And I think out of everything, it goes back to it has to be us. It could be I decide to take my kids to the grocery store and I see a teenager, you know, being frustrated or yelling at somebody in the store. It's not my job to go say something to them, but if I feel like maybe if I say something to them respectfully, there's a high chance that they might calm down and see it differently. But if I go into a store and I just watch as something that could possibly be prevented because that's not...
From a fast break to recovery, Indiana hospitals are here for every Hoosier, regardless of their ability to pay. That's why we're teaming up with legislators on a winning playbook to lower costs and protect access to care across our communities. Because good policy doesn't leave anyone on the sidelines. Learn more at HoosierLifeline.com.
My kid, or that's not my business, then we're just allowing a system to pull people out of spaces because everybody's shrugging. Because they're in their ego and they're in their pride of that's not my problem, or somebody's not doing that to me, or that's not happening to mine, so I'm gonna just mind my business. Eventually, the process comes to your door. Eventually, it might be somebody that you're related to that has to deal with something with the system. And I think we have to stop feeling like somebody else needs to do it and figure out a way to do it ourselves. So when it comes to teaching like these teens how to be aware, I'm always self-aware just because I'm the youngest of five and I've lived in major cities and places that are not so busy. And no matter where I'm at, I have to be a certain type of aware. Honestly, I'm more comfortable in a major city than I am in somewhere rural because you're really by yourself. You don't know who's watching you, and it's a greater chance that somebody could pick up on your patterns. And so the way that you have to carry yourself a lot of times, living in the South versus living in the North. In the North, I feel like as a person of a darker skin tone, there's underlined chances of racism. In the South, it's very blatant and loud. And so, you know, like this person is treating you this way because they feel like you are beneath them. So for me, the way that I raise my kids, I have an 11-year-old. She's not yet a teenager, but she's in that preteen section. I have to talk to her about why somebody may have been treated a certain way. Or the other day, we were leaving the bookstore and she was like, oh, that lady has long dreads. And so I was like, yeah, she has long locks. I could have just let her get that comment off, but I had to sit in the truck and educate her. Those are locks. Some people call them dreads because they wanted to make people feel ashamed of having their hair a certain way, how it naturally grew out their head. There are still some places that won't let kids graduate because they have their hair locked. And so even those times of, I could just let a comment ride, or I can educate her right now. That way she doesn't walk around being ignorant. It's about being aware, right? And I think the greatest thing that we can give the youth today is making them knowledgeable about things that they need to be aware of, because this government is taking books that were meant to educate kids on being aware. They're taking it out of spaces where kids are. So it's really going to be left to us to give them the history, give them the knowledge. So for me, it's kind of like, how do we discover how to start a conversation with the older generation as teenagers or younger people? You just start from anywhere. I remember being in college and I did my senior thesis on questioning my grandfather about his childhood, you know? And that's where I sat in the closet as my grandfather rebuilt my aunt's closet. And I took notes and I wrote down what he was telling me. And he was talking to me, telling me how, you know, when he was younger, he was one of however many kids his parents had. And he dropped out of school in sixth grade and he only had a sixth grade education. Later on, he ended up being a father to 11 children and being married and being a carpenter and teaching himself math and teaching himself measurement and building houses for people, building furniture. And it's kind of like people, you know, it is beautiful, but it's imagine a boy that stops going to school in sixth grade and in a country like Jamaica. And you got to find it out. And how you eat is based upon your work. How you protect yourself to get to the next day is based upon your self-awareness. Mm-hmm. So, someone that old talking to someone young today will make their problems today seem pointless because I did it with less. I got to this point with less. And so if the younger people today think that their problems are just so much different than their parents, so much different than their grandparents, then they're just going to be in this small space, this small mindset of thinking like, oh, this is super big. I'm never going to be able to be happy. I'm never going to be able to get to where I want to go because this challenge is too big. There's no challenge that's too big. And sometimes what the youth need is an example of someone else that was in a deeper problem than they are in order to see themselves out of it. And so being okay with being different, being okay with having less and still carrying yourself with confidence, great discussions you can have with older people. And I think a lot of men have this this way of hiding what they are most challenged with. And I wish that they would get to an understanding that if I'm out with it and I tell you what my challenges are, I can teach more people than hiding it and acting like I don't have any challenges. And I think the youth is looking for someone to be really honest and bold about not being the best at one time and now they are the best. Because I'm more interested in someone who had experienced failure than someone who hasn't, just had it good all the time. So that's a great way for the older generation and the younger generation to connect, in my opinion. When it comes to connection, I think just questioning your grandparents or your grandmother on, you know, what is it that you have questions on about kids my age or how we go to school or why we, you know, wear certain things or why we listen to certain things. I think there's a huge disconnect with older people right now in technology. So imagine if you were a grandfather or a grandmother and you had a great relationship with your grandson, or your granddaughter, and you could call them and be like, okay, how do I work this? What is this? What does this mean? If I go in the doctor's office and they have a touch screen, do I have to do this? Do I have to do that? Because, you know, I'm 37. My mom is 73 and she calls me and she talks to me about how she makes payments on things. And a lot of times I feel like the older generation, they get really frustrated and angry because they start to feel like the system is pushing them out the world a little bit because they don't have that understanding. And so if we're sitting in the world as younger people with new knowledge and the older people are sitting in the world with old knowledge, if we connect, then we can kind of simplify it a bit.
Exactly. Because I feel like, just like how, like, Asian cultures, they have it to where, like, they constantly molding and constantly developing their relationship with their elders, in a sense, like, it's not to a point where they're not taking care of their grandparents or
having
a relationship with them. Like, they're always getting wisdom from them. Like, they always having a direct path back to their parents because it's looked as, like, the thing to do rather than the a task that's just something that is unbearable, but it's more of a empathetic and loving sense, because love comes with action. They look at it from a standpoint that one day that's going to be me, so I have to get that knowledge and that older wisdom to be able to better follow the right path rather than going astray.
Right. And I think the way other cultures embrace having their grandparents involved in the business, their kids involved in the business, their parents involved in the business is like, it's so easy. It's so everyday. Like, and if you don't pay attention to it, you'll overlook it. But if I go pick up my egg rolls, I see multiple generations in there working. I don't just see the young people working. When I go to New York and I get bubble tea, it's through a system, through a computerized system. And who's working back there is teenagers that I know is going to be from the owners of the company. You know, if I go to a cafe, even if it's a Paris driven cafe where they sell like certain decadent cakes or pastries, even if what they're selling is from another culture, who's working there is family based. And so when you look at connecting and growing and pouring into different generations, you have to think, you know, how can I gain understanding from this? How can I make sure that my grandparents are good and I don't just check in ever so often? How can I involve them? And I think a lot of older people die faster because they lose what their purpose is after a while. After my kids grew up and they don't call me as much, they don't need me. So what do I do? They have kids, but my grandkids don't come see me, or they don't know me and I don't have that relationship. I guess I don't need to be here. And once your mind gets set on the fact that you're not needed and you don't need to be here, it starts to tell your body you're not needed.
That's true. Cause it's like, I feel like even with like Alzheimer's or dementia, like once the brain doesn't really work or have a need, because like whatever you don't use, you lose.
Right.
And you lose that sense of purpose, you lose that sense of passion, the ambition, the why you here, and figuring out how to like welcome every part of your life into like every aspect, rather than like everyone looking at like every aspect of our lives and seeing like how we can incorporate even like in the kitchen, where it's like learning different recipes that your grandma or mom or auntie has done, and really having them like welcome us rather than just, you know, being like, oh, get out the kitchen, or how it usually be. But it's more so like even us like welcoming us in like, you know, social media, like where we like, oh, come here, grandma, come here, auntie, let me show you how to, you know, work this camera, or invite you to be able to be a part of what I'm doing or what we doing, rather than separate from that, because it makes it more impactful and more purposeful, a more purposeful thing, rather than just a lonely road. Because it's a lonely road when you at the top, when you made it all by yourself and you have no one to go back to and be like, oh, I did it with so and so. But when you have a mindset where, oh, I did it with my family, I did it, they helped me through everything, like that, it was a collaborative effort rather than separate effort.
Right. And
just like you said in the beginning, like, we have these false sense of, we have a false sense of reality that, like, social media connects us, but it really doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's the face-to-face interaction really that really builds confidence, mm-hmm. really relationships, and really builds, like, that love, because it takes that love and it takes that action to really bring forth the efforts that we want to see.
Yeah. And it's very important that the young people stay open-minded. It's very important that older people feel an outlet or they have something to look forward to in their day. For me, I know, like, if anybody wants to guarantee me crying watching something, it's either I'm watching kids or I'm watching old people. People in between, it's kind of hard for you to pull on my emotions, but I think older people who still have, like, that childlike in them to maybe skip in the park or play with who they've been married to for the last 30 years or, you know, play pretend with their grandchildren or their great-grandchildren or even, like, my friends who still have, like, their parents who are married and they got their grandparents. And, you know, you can sit on a Zoom with your grandma, your mom, your dad, your auntie, your cousins, and y'all can, like, talk about different things and y'all could interact and y'all could laugh still. I don't have that. I have no living grandparents. And I remember being young enough to notice that every Sunday we would gather as a family and go to my aunt's house. And my grandmother sat at another side of the table and my grandfather sat another side of the table. And he would give the longest prayer from the animals to the people who helped get the food on the table. But it was a common respect there. And after both of them left, it was just like everybody's on their own island. There's no more getting together for dinner. There's no more checking in on this person. There's no, like, if you notice or you found out somebody had a baby, it's because y'all are on good talking terms. But if y'all not on good talking terms, it's just like we're not related. We're not close-knit anymore. And if we have a generation that's not close-knit and doesn't know where they come from and don't know what their family stands for, then they're not going to have that confidence that you feel like they should have. They're not going to have the respect for self that you feel like they should have. And so being open-minded and staying active and staying involved, it should be more organic, in my opinion. Like, it shouldn't be like, I'm not raising my daughters to feel like, oh, yeah, we should go see my brother because, yeah, he always gives us money. It's not about him giving you money. It's about spending time with people. It's about showing up for people. You know, one of my brothers has his own business, and it's not because I have to or it's not because he makes me or he always calls me to, but I'll ask him, hey, do you need me to come on Saturday or on Sunday to clean? He'd be like, yeah. And I said, okay, what time? You gonna be here? He'll tell me a time and I'll come clean. My brother makes enough money to hire somebody to come clean. But if I'm his family, I know he's running a business and I know he doesn't really have days off like that. If I could help him by not having to do that and do it, I'll do it.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. It's that awareness and that desire to do that. Because it's like, it really means something when you have that desire and you actually take that action. Because it's like, when you ask for it, it's like, man, it's cool. But when it's just like, it's just out of love, it's just out of like, your giving heart just wanting or desiring to do that, then it means more to that person. Because it's just like, and I feel like that's another point is what's lacking is that desire or that want to do things that you might not want to do at that given moment, but you just do it because, you know, that make that person feel that extra love.
Yeah, and I think a lot of younger people need to see relationships that are not transactional.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, even when I was like in my late teens going into my 20s, I always had an internship doing something. And a lot of people who were not creative or weren't self-driven would always tell me, why are you doing that work for free? Why are you doing all of this for free? But they couldn't understand what I was learning. They couldn't understand how being in a space of people conducting business that I would want to do later on would help me, would motivate me. And sometimes you can't explain what you do to people, but you could always show people. You know, and I think, you know, me making myself available to my brother to just be there or help him with his business is very important for my kids to see that. That, you know, yeah, she could be doing this on her Saturday. She could sleep in on her Saturday, or she could be doing this on Sunday, but she got up, you know, she got all the cleaning supplies she needed. She gave him 3 hours of her time. You know what I'm saying? Left, got right out of the way. And I think it's very important for my daughters to see that, because I don't want them to only engage with people when they're getting something, or have this expectation that, oh, I came, what are you going to give me because I came? It's very important to show up for people, keep your word to people, and do a good job, even if they're not paying you, because it's about integrity. And that's a lot of what these young people today don't have is integrity, because they feel like somebody would get over on me, so I'm gonna get over on somebody else before they do. And when you walk around with that mentality, you're... Thank you for taking the time to listen to this show and enjoy this episode. I know I'm dropping gems for y'all. I know I am, because that's just what I do. I appreciate every listen and every download and every share. So if you see me clipping on social media, share that shit, because I appreciate it. Speaking of sharing, not only are you supporting this podcast, but you're supporting all the other podcasts that I do that can be found on shambipodden.com. That is a website where I put everything that I'm working on, whether it's books, whether it's merch, whether it's links to support me or support the people who support me. It can be found on that website. Also, there is a monthly, I want to say it's like a newsletter, but it's not really a newsletter because I'm not emailing y'all with y'all spam emails that y'all don't even check anyway. But if you want any updates regarding podcasting tips or what I have going on, every month I give a updated, detailed what's going on with me info on that website. I also blog on that website, so I might create different articles on that website. Sharing those links helps support me. So if you're looking to support me, do that. I also do other podcasts that can be found on there. Each podcast has their own page. I am working on a lot of other collaborations this year, and you can find me on some people's live shows this year. You know, just staying busy. Shambi Podden, okay? You can email me about business, okay? My email can be found on that website, because I know how some people get, okay? I am here to create and to share knowledge. That is what I do. Everyone around me is great. Therefore, if you listen to me, you are searching for greatness, and I appreciate you. I hope you enjoy the show, and don't forget to follow me, add me, and check out Shannon Pods on YouTube. Sometimes I do video record my episodes, but not all the time, because I'm just not that girl. My audience is not on YouTube, but I know some people like the YouTube spaces. But back to the show. Never comfortable. That's why a lot of people, when they, you know, get to an age where they feel like, I'm making a certain amount of money, I'm driving a certain car, and I should be able to go wherever I want to go. You can't do that. Because if you're around a whole bunch of people that you want to drive through and you want to show off, and they need and they don't have, and you don't show up for them and you don't help them, then you're creating your own enemies because mindfully you're not empathetic. You have no integrity about you. And so somebody wants to see you have less than automatically. So my thing is like, if you are in a space where you can match somebody's energy or be nasty or try to get over or steal or take, I think it's very important that older people share stories of when somebody did do something, this was the outcome. You don't have to go through what you think you're going to do and figure out what the outcome is. Let me tell you what was the outcome of what I experienced. Let me tell you what happened to my best friend. Let me tell you how having these certain principles will help save you in life. And if you're not having those conversations with your uncle, your aunt, your grandfather, or your parent, and they're just keeping you in this bubble of, yeah, I don't want my son to worry about that. I don't want my daughter to worry about that. Or I don't want to talk to my son about this. I don't want to talk to my daughter about this. She just shouldn't be doing it. You're giving them space to be more curious about what it is. And so a lot of times people will like think about teenagers like, oh, that's none of their business. They don't need to know what I did as a teenager. They don't need to know the trouble that I got into. No, they need to know. And those sometimes are the discussions that's going to bring you and your child closer. Yes. So for me, even though, you know, I have a 7-year-old and 11-year-old, I sometimes share with them moments that I was stupid. That I made stupid choices just so they don't feel like they know more than the next person. And you're going to be the first to do something stupid, be the first to do something risky. It's very important for you to share moments where you were not perfect with your kids. And the older generation and the younger generation must have those conversations. Because if you have this conversation and you give your child this illusion, like you always did right, you never did anything wrong, everything always worked out for you, then they walk around with this entitlement that even if I mess up, I'm good. Even if I can't afford this, I'll just ask my mom to do it. I'll just ask my dad to do it. They don't walk around with this, I'm going to earn it attitude. And right now, I feel like the youth need to walk around with a I'm going to earn it attitude. I'm going to show these people why I'm deserving attitude. They have this entitlement attitude of, I don't feel like I should have to work for $16 an hour. I feel like I should be able to have the BMW for my first car. I should be able to just steal that car, steal this car, take it to the junkyard, make $800 today instead of wait 2 weeks for $800. That's how we living right now.
It is. I feel like it's kind of based off just social media in itself. It was like the glitz, the glamour.
Mm-hmm.
It's the not waiting and having a false sense of reality that everything happens right now rather than everything takes time. And that time is what, that process of things is what really develops you to build up those different skills to have an understanding when you lose everything, then you know you can always get it back because you got the skill set rather than just a one-time moment or a viral moment to where like it blew you up and you have everything then, but you waste it because you have a lack of financial literacy, you have a lack of understanding within yourself, you have a lack of understanding of like just the world outside of you. Right. And social media really shows you a perspective where everything's fast and quick rather than everything takes its time and everything is in its season. Like everything has its cycle. Everything is spins around the clock.
Right. I try to explain to my kids, like, you don't want to hurry up and grow up. Like there's nothing really exciting on a daily basis about adulting. It's a different process of lifestyle that you're in when you're adulting, but it's very much, this is your choice, this is the result. It's a faster result of your choices. Whereas when you're a kid, there's a time frame of pauses and reflection that you have, like the grace of having. Like, oh, they're only 16, they don't know that. Or they're only 13, they don't know that, but they'll learn eventually. Like, don't skip over your moments of failure for understanding. Mm-hmm. And I think rushing to get money and rushing to be in spaces where no one's going to want you there, no one's going to feel like you're deserving anyway, and you're not going to have true friendships that have your back being in those spaces, it's a pointless rush. It's a pointless rush. And so I feel like more people who figured out their why and their purpose need to talk to kids more that are younger. The elderly that set their families up for generations and have something to pass down need to speak up more. We constantly have films and documentaries of those who had and lost and didn't get it back. But I don't think we have enough people who didn't have, grinded it out, failed, got it, and figured out a way to make sure their generation was good and the next generation was good and they're alive to talk about it. And if you have your grandparents around, just to bring it full circle, and you have your parents around, I think as a young person, you need to do that old school thing. Drop them off at the grandparents' house on the weekend. You know what I'm saying? Move closer to the grandparents as your kids are growing up. Bring back that mindset and that feeling of actually having a village, having people around that matter. For me, I have to make sure my friends are family-like to me because I have more friends around than I do family. And so I think my lifestyle is very similar to a lot of people's lifestyles right now, where it's just like really intermediate family, the dad and the mom, but everybody's really scattered. And I think that's what's going to make us coming together and being a unit harder. But if you have your grandparents around, make sure your teens can talk to them. Make sure your teens spend time with them. Teach them how to express themselves properly, how to confidently be in rooms, how to be aware that someone's, you know, doesn't have their best interests. You know, how we deal with people is not new. It's just a different generation. The numbers change. The people don't. The character doesn't. And so having discussions about how to peep when you need to leave, before you need to leave, is very important. And so when it comes to teens and elderly, you know, that's why I felt like what you wanted to talk about was super important, because I think elderly have a different pocket on connecting with their grandchildren, because sometimes they look at their grandchildren as a second chance to get it right.
That's true.
And if you're looking at your grandchildren as a second chance to get it right because you've seen what you did with your child and you saw the outcome, your purpose is going to be a bit more intentional. You're going to have a bit more empathy and you're going to have a bit more understanding because you wish you understood more with your child. And that's why it's very important not to get in the way of your parent having a relationship with your kid. Even though your parenting styles might be different. And it's also important that you unpack what was said at the grandparents' house when your kids come home. Because sometimes grandparents are wrong. Sometimes grandparents are stuck in an old mindset that doesn't match today. And even down to like the reasons on why your grandparents got married, you can't use that in the marriage today because that don't work. We in different times. But I feel like that relationship is very important. So I'm glad that you brought this topic up.
Oh, it's crucial and beneficial for us to have these type of conversations because we have to really get it out there before there's any change that happens.
Yeah. And
the change happens with conversation.
Yeah. I believe that. Conversation, effort, and just being intentional and making that space. Because I know some older people be like, you can call me. The phone worked both ways. You know what I'm saying? They get really stubborn. But I feel like there's so many ways where we can put in that effort and show up. And I think if you have grandparents around or you know where there's like an elderly neighbor on the block, like show them that you have that empathy to come check in or just say hello. Or, you know, if you see them taking groceries out, go help them. If you see that you could grab their cart so they don't have to walk away from their car to go put it back, do it. And I do it. You know, I don't second guess if I should or I shouldn't. I just do it. Just because I don't have my grandparents around, but I know that somebody's grandparent, you know, so it's very important. So, yeah, thank you for this topic. I'm always wondering, like, okay, I'm doing this season. What haven't I talked about? And I haven't talked about the benefits of, you know, grandparents and this younger generation yet. So I was like, okay, this is perfect. So I'm happy I got to have you on here. Do you want to plug anything that you have popping up, your website and where people could find you?
You can find me on Instagram. My brand page is Rhapsode, RHAP.SODE. We got a upcoming drop coming soon on September.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can find me on TikTok at truly.yours_. And just look out for possibly more collaborations on this podcast and more.
Yes.
You know, because it was a great conversation. I really loved it.
Yeah, you talk about great things, purposeful things. I like your t-shirts that you drop. Because if people don't know who they are, but they like the t-shirt, that's an open conversation right there. So just let me know when you do that drop so I could push it on the page and TikTok. And yeah, this was good. Thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Of course. And thank you guys for listening to Cozy Womb Podcast. You can find me at shambipodden.com and The Cozy Womb Pod on IG and Twitter, and we will be back with another one.
GEICO makes it easy to get affordable renter's insurance in as little as 90 seconds. That way, you have more energy for harder things, like the laundry. Why is it so difficult to fold clothes? They just end up wrinkly anyway, or on the floor in a pile that just sits there, taunting you. But with renter's insurance through GEICO, at least you know that those clothes and the other things you love are covered. Get more with GEICO.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.